Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast today. Pastor Al is unable to be in studio today, and so this is Pastor John Lutz, and it's always a privilege to sit in for Pastor Al, and I'm thankful for his friendship and his love for our Lord, and I'm thankful he allows me to sit in and share some scripture with you, share some thoughts with you as well. And Lord willing, he'll be back next week for his regular broadcast here on Friday. I'm sure he'll be there Sunday night. You can listen to Live with Pastor Al on Sunday night right here on 1220 AM The Word at 10 p.m. from 10 to midnight. You can end your day with him. If that's something you would like to do, and it's always informative, and I know it's a little late for me, but that's all right. I have filled in for him sometimes with it. But also, by the way, I want to mention he has their weekly Bible study tonight at 7 p.m. at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, located at 4174 Wheatley Road, and they're in Suite 200. And so get on out there at 7 o'clock tonight. Gear up some tough questions for him. Play Stump the Pastor and try to get him going. No, he's a great Bible expositor, and I'm so thankful. I love when I leave here, usually I have the show right on before here, and when I leave here, I've got about a 20-minute drive back to the church, so I always get to listen to him, and it's always a great broadcast. So it's a privilege to be with you today, and like I said, hopefully Pastor Al will be back next Friday. I was starting to think he was celebrating Lent, giving up his radio show for Fridays. But Pastor Al, I'll keep filling in for you. Let me know. But anyway, I'm just kidding about that. But anyway, 2 Peter chapter 3, we started in the first half hour, at least our half hour for our show. And by the way, let me tell you a little bit about our church. We're North Coast Baptist Church. We're located in Lakewood, and we would love for you to come on out if you live up north. Pastor Al always says on the east side, but that's Pastor Resnacko's church. And if you're on the far east side, by the way, we got churches all over Northeast Ohio. In fact, there's a new one launching next Sunday out there in Willoughby, Heritage Baptist Church. The Suglio family is getting that one up and going, part of Heritage Church Planting Ministries out of Cleveland Baptist Church. But I'll tell you, all over Ohio, there's a lot of good churches. All over Ohio, we can help get you to one. If you're not in the local vicinity, we can get you around. Of course, Pastor Al's down there in Summit County, and we've got them all over Ohio. And, you know, there's no shortage. You're never going to be able to stand before God and say, well, I couldn't have gotten to a church, within a reasonable amount of time. They're all over Northeast Ohio, and there's still some being planted and growing, so that's good. But anyway, you can always look us up, northcoastbaptist.org. Check our church out up there as well. Well, we're going to go to 2 Peter chapter 3, and we started talking about what a scoffer was and what a mocker was. And the Bible uses that term, scoffing, in chapter 3, verse 3, knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. And the identifying mark of a scoffer is they're walking after their own lust. So they're going after, right? And they're following after the lust. So they're not being spirit-led, they're being senses-led. And the reason I say that is because in Jude, verse 18, it says, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. So comparing scripture upon scripture, we know a scoffer and a mocker is basically the same thing. And the next verse says, these be they who separate themselves. That means they do this themselves. They're not separated by God. They're trying to identify themselves as God or as a child of God, but they're not. They're sensual. That means they're led by the senses. They're led by the emotions. They're led by the affections and the lusts, having not the Spirit, capital S. So having not the Spirit means they're not saved. Romans chapter 8 says, he that hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So these aren't even saved people. At least these teachers that they're talking about are not saved people. But the naivety of many Christians today to go along with these because it appeals to the flesh, makes it feel good. That's why, you know, a lot of people like people like a Joel Osteen, because he's a, you know, he appeals to the flesh. He appeals to the psyche. He appeals to the heart. He wants to make you feel good. And by the way, Baptist preachers want you to feel good too, but the only way you're going to feel good is if you live obediently. We sing a song, you know, about happiness is only available through being obedient to the Lord. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy but to trust and obey, right? Obedience, you can't separate joy and obedience. They go together because you can have joy in tribulation. Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. So you can have that because obedience is where you'll find joy. That's how you stay in fellowship, by the way, and your joy would be full, the Apostle John said, right? So these are having not the Spirit, they're sensual. So we were talking about scoffers and mockers, and specifically in the last days. Now, what are these scoffers and mockers? What's their plan of attack? Well, the Bible identifies four areas in this passage that identifies these areas that they're going to scoff, what they're going to mock at. And this is how, by the way, how you can identify them. And the first area is that they're going to scoff or they're going to mock at the Word of God. Well, the average today, we have a festival that we're a part of every year. And I talk to people all the time of all different kinds of flavors, we'll use that term, of quote-unquote Christianity. But you bring up the Bible issue, forget it. They don't even want to have the discussion. To her credit, I don't know what happened to her, but there was a preacher woman, okay, which is unbiblical to begin with. But to her credit, one time, she came by, she pastored a church in Lakewood, and we started talking, and I started talking about the King James. And she said, well, I'd never looked into that. Do you have any literature? And I was able to drop off some of the literature at that church for her. And by the way, she's not there anymore. The church isn't there anymore. So, hey, maybe something got right. I don't know. But the Word of God is the point of attack for the scoffer and the mocker. Oh, you're one of those legalists. You know, you show your spiritual ignorance when you make a comment like that, when you say, oh, you're a legalist because you have standards. Show me in the Bible where there's no standards, and I'll show you the heathen. I'll show you the reprobate. Because anywhere you see God who does things decently in order, he has standards of all kinds of, and a lot of times standards are thought about with dress, but there's a standard of deportment, how you carry yourself. People should know that you're a Christian by the way you carry yourself, by the way your character is, by the concerns, by the communication of your lips. They ought to know that you're a Christian. You know, Christians don't use vile language. Let no filthy or corrupt communication come out of your mouth. You know, blessing and cursing ought not to come out of the same mouth. James talks about these things ought not to be so. I mean, there are certain identifying marks that should be attributed to a believer, to a Christian. They were first called Christians in Antioch. They didn't call themselves Christians. People around there called them Christians because their life and their living was so peculiar to the culture and to what was going on around them. They knew that those were the Christ followers. Could that be said about your life? Could somebody say, well, those are the Christ followers? Well, they don't look like they're following Christ. I mean, they're hanging out at the bars, they're gambling, they're drinking, the way they look, the way they talk, the way they act. Boy, they get so angry. Man, that guy treats his wife and his kids so horrible. That is not good stuff. You got to have standards of conduct, standards of communication, standards of character. And by the way, the Bible produces those. That's why when you get saved, you get cleaned up. But the first point of attack is always the Word of God. That's what scoffers and mockers do. I've heard people stand up at city council meetings in Lakewood, pound their chest, and tell the council that they were Christians and so thankful for their abortion. That's a scoffer. That's a mocker. There ain't no saved person there talking that way. They're scoffing. They're walking after their own lust. All right? So the first point of attack is always the Word of God. Then the second thing is the work of God. If you go down in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world was then was, being overflowed with water, perished, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of God, ungodly men. So for the work of men, okay, or the work of God, they go after that. They'll say things like, well, that's just Mother Nature, you know. God judging, you know, look at California. Did you see the pictures of the snowfall up in the mountains? I mean, we have a 16-foot ceilings in our church. And I'm telling you, some of those snow piles on those roofs were at least 16 feet tall. It was incredible how much snow. And, well, you know, that's Mother Nature. And maybe it's God judging. He collapsed an entire grocery store. What about the floods? What about the landslides? What about the tornadoes? What about the hurricanes? What about the pestilences? What about all these things that are being allowed to go on in our – you just assume it's always been that way. I don't know if it's always been that way or not, but that's a kind of an attitude that a scoffer and a mocker takes. Yeah, whatever will be, will be. And God is intervening. He's done such great work. This land, this, you know, God said that seasons would endure until, you know, he came. You have the climate alarmists that are trying to tell, oh, we're going to lose this season. We're going to lose this. We're not going to lose anything. It ain't going anywhere until God decides that it's over. But there's a scoffing at the work of God, what God does, what God creates. They scoff at the creations of God. A good way to see somebody who's not saved. The Bible is one of the evidences that we love the brethren. So if somebody claims to be saved and they're mocking and criticizing Bible-believing Christians, they're not saved. Do you understand that? They're not saved. That's what the Bible says. They have not the Spirit, because we know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. You see, there's evidences that, well, I don't believe that. Well, you don't believe the Bible. See, they scoff, they mock at the work of God. Then it says here, verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. That verse scares me. Because I like to think that the Lord's coming, but then I think one day is like 1,000 years. We might be 1,000 years off on this thing, but certainly it's coming. I mean, the Lord's returning, but clearly the point of the verse is to show you that God's not bound by time. It's not a consideration. If God wanted to go another 1,000 years, he tells you in the next verse why. That's why things haven't shut down yet, because God is long suffering. Because he can put up with this stuff, and it's not going to affect him. Too many of you are getting affected by everything that's going on today, and it's pulling you out of your church. It's pulling you out of your Christian walk, and boy, you're hunkering down, and some of you are more concerned about hoarding materials. I thought we weren't going through the rapture or through the tribulation. I thought we weren't going to need that stuff. My Bible says to give, and it should be given unto you. My Bible says that you ought to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. My Bible says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Are those promises or not? See, God is long-suffering. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, that's God's will. They scoff at God's will. The average quote-unquote Christian today has never witnessed to anybody. If they witness to him, they witness all the positive things. Oh, yeah. If you pray this prayer, you're going to heaven. If you pray this prayer, you know, all things are going to be good. Well, you're going to have joy. That's great. But what about the fires of hell that we have to warn them of? What about the fact that they need to be saved? And they need to be saved because we ought to fear the judgment of God. At some point, the judgment of God has to trump the love of God in order for you to get saved. We don't get saved because we want to go to heaven. We get saved because we know we're going to hell. The benefit is we're now going to heaven. And so scoffers will scoff at that. They'll scoff and they'll mock about the will of God. You know, the easiest way to prove the will of God is to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That means it's expected. It's what we're supposed to do. It's reasonable. You're saved. Present your body unto the Lord now as a sacrifice. It's not about you anymore. It's not about what you want to do, what ministry you want to do. I know people that have started businesses now that have pulled them out of church. And by the way, they always said they would never miss church because of it, but now they're missing church because of it, because you're doing what you want to do. God will never give you something to do that will take you out of his will. Sorry, bank it. Take it to the bank on that one. Okay, it's not going to happen. God's not going to contradict himself. And so the will of God, you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You be not conformed to this world. Oh, well, we got to infiltrate the world. No, be not conformed to this world. Don't conform to it. Don't go along with it. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. How do I renew my mind? Oh, yeah, the word of God will renew my mind. That God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. The Spirit of God who wrote the Bible is the unction that teaches you the Bible and will teach you and strengthen you and renew your mind. Watch this, that ye may prove. You'll be the proof of what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But scoffers and mockers, they scoff at the will of God. There's a fourth area too. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Yeah, I had a guy tell me one time, I had worked with him, and then I went to another place. I came back, and he says, oh, I got saved. I got born again. I said, well, that's great. So I thought I could talk to him as a Christian could talk to him, you know, about Bible things. And I remember talking to him about hell. He goes, I don't believe in hell. I said, well, son, you didn't get saved then, right? I mean, if you don't believe there's wrath involved. No, somebody said recently, everybody goes to heaven. Really? Really, everybody goes to heaven. How about the rich man who lift up his eyes in hell? What do you do with that one? What do you do with that passage right there? What do you do with, what's his name, Korah? And Abiram and Dotham and Nathan, I think they were, when the earth swallowed up whole and they went down into the pit. The pit is hell. It's where they went to. What do you do with that? If everybody goes to heaven, did Judas go to heaven? I don't know. Jesus seemed to say it was better for him not to be born. You say, why? Because he has to live an eternity in hell now. See, hell's real. Scoffers won't deal with hell. They don't want you to think about hell. Scoffers won't deal with about wrath. They don't want to talk about wrath. They don't want to talk, no, we don't talk about wrath around here. Well, we talk about wrath. We talk about judgment. We talk about the judgment seat of Christ we just went through a study here on the radio over the last month on how to prepare yourself for the judgment seat of Christ. And some of you think you're going to walk right in there and do that. You know, it says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It doesn't say, well done, thou good and faithful son. You're not getting to hear that because you're just a son of God. You got to serve God. And if you haven't been serving God, you ain't going to hear those words. But for some reason, we're going to hear those words. Well, I heard one preacher say, if you haven't done well, you're not going to hear well done. But the day of the Lord has come as a thief in the night. Seeing, verse 11, then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? So here's the fourth area they go after, the wrath of God. Well, there's many ways to heaven. No, there's not. One way, that's it. That's why I don't have much hope for America, I have to tell you. You can't put that quote-unquote genie back in the bottle. I mean, I'm all for religious liberty, but the religious liberty is based on where the Spirit of the Lord is. Religious liberty was never meant for, you know, to embrace all of these other religions and hold them at the same level as where Christianity was. This whole land was based upon the fact that there were Christian principles and Christian leaders. In fact, I was going to talk about today, and maybe I'll do it next week, about what if the foundations are destroyed? What can the righteous do? You know, once the foundations are destroyed, righteous can't do anything other than continue to be righteous, trust in the Lord, and they're going to go through suffering. But God judges those who abandon him, who forsake him. He will visit the iniquity of the fathers unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate him. You know that lying is a form of hate. So those who lie about him actually hate him, and God judges a land based upon what people say about the Lord. So today, I'll tell you, in Lakewood, there's 30-some churches or denominations. Most of them are lying. They're lying to people. And what I mean by that is they're using words that aren't God's words. They're telling them things that aren't true. We have in Lakewood, there's a bunch of churches that are affirming and welcoming, and they're lying to people. And lying is a form of hate. You say, prove that scripturally. Well, I will, because the book of Proverbs says, for the lying tongue hateth them that are afflicted by it. The lying tongue hateth them that are afflicted by it. So those who lie, you can't lie and love at the same time. But boy, they tell you they love you, don't they? Oh, we love you here. We love you here. You can be gay here. Oh, we love you here, Andy Stanley. Yeah, we're going to affirm you here. Yeah, let's get a whole panel of affirming quote-unquote preachers and teachers. Oh, we love you here. No, they hate you. They're lying to you. They need to. You got to understand the wrath of God is coming. It's real. Say, how do you know? Because look at the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ, you see the wrath of God. He was chastened for our peace. He was bruised for our iniquities. The wrath of God was poured out on Jesus. It's witness. You can see it right there. The exceeding sinfulness of sin that Jesus became for us. The wrath of God. But if it was all about the physical, it wouldn't be that bad. It's not about the physical. It's about the spiritual. For the wages of sin is death. That's not the physical death. That's the second death. The death of the condemnation of those who rejected the truth of Jesus Christ. So what do we do? What do we do with this information now? The scoffers and mockers. Well, first of all, there's four B's in here, by the way. You got to be mindful, verse 2. We talked about the last half hour. Be mindful of the words. The words haven't changed, my friend. Get yourself a King James Bible and get into the Bible. I know your flesh is going, well, yeah, but this is easier to understand. No, it's not. They're lying to you about that. There's even scientific proof that they're lying to you about that one. Be mindful of the words. Be not ignorant of the long-suffering of God. God is working his plan. Don't fret about what's going on with Biden and all this stuff. Yeah, I'm upset with it just like you are, but fret not when evildoers prosper. They're not prospering. The man in Psalm 73, he complained and he was all up in arms. And he says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I saw their end. And then he had grief. He was broken about it. He was ashamed that he had thought that in lieu of them spending an eternity in hell. Be not ignorant. Well, God's working his plan out. Verse 14, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace without spot and blameless. Listen, you can't control the behavior of another person, but you can control your behavior. And you can follow after the Spirit, and it'll produce holiness in your life. Then there's the fourth thing, verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware. Beware, lest ye also be led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. If there was ever a time to stand for Christ, it's now. But the majority of people that are out there, they're mocking God, they're scoffing God, and here's the worst part, they don't even realize it because they're looking at just vile progressives and leftists. Oh, yeah, they hate God. Well, the Bible says if you're a liar, if you're lying about God, you hate God too. And I know there's some good people that are walking in their own flesh and their own lusts, and I'm telling you, you're mocking God. You've taken the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And you need to correct it. You need to amend your ways and your doings. Trust Christ. Turn to his word. Get yourself a King James Bible. Study it. Learn it. Live it. Believe it. And trust it. Thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned. Pastor Rusnacko is coming up next. God bless.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.